You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
As you can see, and do you know, a lot of us think that all the time we have to stand here and reach up to God, when actually, he's come down. I'm echoing. Is that better? Is that better? Am I echoing now? Gavin, hero. Okay, we'll continue. Thanks. So we think that we have to reach up to God when actually God reaches down to us. And, sorry, if we get up for the second one, that'd be really good. Thank you. No, it's right. No problem. Is that better? You can see. Oh, brilliant, Barbara. Thank you. So what is it then that we're called to do? This is reach, for the official reach, I think, from the CLC Church. Easy to remember. So we are to be the hands and feet of God in Herefordshire, the nation and the world, it says. We see a church significant both in size and influence. A church that reaches out to the local community and beyond in practical ways, spreading the good news of Jesus and growing through the addition of new Christians. We see this church sending out missionaries locally, nationally, internationally, as well as planting new and growing new churches. That's amazing, isn't it? You've got to aim high. You've got to think big, because God is so much bigger than we are. I'm moving forward again, just to try and get rid of that echo. So here we are, little people sitting here in a church building. So how can we reach? How can we fulfill that vision? Any ideas? Okay, before you say anything, I think we need to look at the crux of the matter. Now, I've been an evangelist. I've worked in all kinds of areas. So I've worked in prisons. I've worked with people who've got drug addictions. I've worked in schools. I've worked with children. I've worked in all kinds of things with bereaved groups, all kinds of things you can imagine. And I've been there, and I've got expertise in some of those. I say expertise, it's the wrong word, isn't it? I've grown to learn how I can reach those people in those groups. But that's not for now, okay? That's for another time. Right now, we're going to look at the crux of the matter, as I said. And the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. It's what's in you and me. And so, whatever we do, we know that we're not alone, that God is with us. And so, what are we motivated by? Ta-da! There it is, as if by magic. So what is it that motivated God to send Jesus to reach us? You don't have to answer this question, you will know the answer. Okay, so what motivated Jesus to reach his arms wide upon the cross to die for us? What is it that motivated God to reach you as an individual? And what will motivate us to reach out to those in the world? We're there. Right, so let's read this passage. You know this passage really well. So God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. It's all about love, the most powerful force in the universe. And now, do you know that actually scientists are saying that the known universe they thought they had, now they're beginning to have doubts about what they thought they knew, and that they're thinking it could be infinite. That's what they're thinking. They're thinking the universe could be infinite. But even then, the power of God's love, it's the most powerful thing in the universe. And we reach others so that their lives can be changed by love. Jesus stretched out his arms wide for you and for me on the cross, didn't he? Amen. So that everyone can come to him and know that love that surpasses everything, a love that's stronger than death, a love that lasts A love that will reach you in the deepest and darkest place, wherever you are, whatever you've done wrong, whoever you are, whichever nation you're from, his love will reach you there. And that love will transform you. Jesus said, if I'm lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all people to myself. It's that kind of attractive love, that love that draws you in. And now we're going to look at two things. If you don't remember anything I've said, okay, that's fine. Just remember the two things that I'm going to say now. So we're looking at the greatest command is to love. That's what it is. It's to love. And in Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40, the Pharisees come to Jesus and they ask him a question. They ask him, what's the greatest commandment? And he comes back and he tells them, he says this, he says it about love. And if you notice, what is it? It's not the greatest suggestion, is it? Okay, so that's not the greatest suggestion. It's not maybe a good idea. Or maybe, yes, all right, how do you feel about this? You can do this or not. No, it's a command. The greatest command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And love your neighbour as yourself. And do you know what? Each one of us here are going to struggle with one of those three, I guarantee it. Loving God, or loving our neighbour, or loving ourselves. And I would put it to you that if we want to reach other people with the love of God, we first of all have to know and experience God's love for ourselves. Are you loved? When was the last time that you were flooded with the love of God and you knew that you're his, you belong to him? When I was working in Edinburgh, okay, I was working there and all kinds of stuff, retail chaplaincy and stuff, but when I was there, I had a call. My boss phoned me and he said, Andrew, he says, I want you to look at a job in Thanet. In case you don't know, Thanet's in Kent. And it's right by the seaside, lovely place, Margate, you know, lovely beach, Broad says. And but the job, okay, was huge. It was to work in Anglican churches, 27 Anglican churches in what they call a parish, which is a group of churches. And as I was working, I think about working there, I thought, this is nuts. Who on earth thought this job up? Because a lot of those churches won't be concerned particularly about mission or even understand particularly what it is. And then other people will be thinking, well, you know, I don't really want to get involved. I want to stay nice and comfortable in our church and I don't really want to move. So anyway, I said to God, that's better. The mouth works. So I said to God, okay, God, so this is a huge job. You know, I don't know who threw up the job description, but it sounds crazy to me. But I said, what's the plan, God? What's the plan for me to, you know, reach these people? And after a long, long time, I didn't hear anything for a long time. Then I think I heard the voice of God saying to me, Andrew, he said, I want you to love them. And I said, you know, I get that. I know that. I sort of took that as read. That's fine. I understand that. And he says, no, you don't understand. I want you to love them. And from that time on, I've been learning how I can love people with the love of Christ. It's not the love that you know comes naturally to us because it's sacrificial. It's giving yourself away to others so that they can experience that love for themselves. So if we want to reach out, we need to be loved and we need to know how to love. So what's God's plan? So moving on to the next one, we're looking at the Great Commission. Now you all know this, don't you? Yeah, of course you do. And I put there to enable lovers, which is what I really see it as. We've received this love from God. So how do we live the life that we can pass this love on so they can know that love for themselves? How can we do that? As we've said already, love is the most powerful force in the universe. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. Have you noticed what it says? We're to make disciples, right? And I think most churches want to build the church rather than make disciples. But anyway, that's another story. So we're to make disciples and teach them to obey everything Jesus has commanded us. So going back to, what was the great commandment? Okay. So on this commission, we've got to teach them everything that Christ, and the everything I've commanded you, and the command is to love. Jesus sums it up like this, really, in John 13, 34. He says, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So love seems to be coming over pretty strong, doesn't it? That's what God, that's who he is. It's what he is. That's made him reach down that ladder at the beginning. Yeah, we don't have to climb up to him because he came down to meet with you and for me. And he wants to meet with us continually. So there it is. We are to live, to demonstrate our lives, to be a living demonstration of God's love. And that love is not easy, is it? I mean, if you knew some of the people I know, you'd find, or maybe if you knew me better, you'd find it very difficult to love. You know what I mean? We're dealing with human beings here. People who will let us down. We will let ourselves down. We'll let God down. And yet that love of God never stops. Never stops flowing to you and to me. So, do you know what? I think I've given you enough, what we should be. So let's just breathe a sigh of relief here, okay? Because I want to tell you that few people are called to be evangelists. Did you know that? Very few people are called to be evangelists. Deb's just gone whoop whoop, okay? But if I just read this scripture to you and then see what we are all called to be, okay? So here we go. This is Acts 1, 7 to 8. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So what is it? We've got to wait for power, the power of the Holy Spirit to come on us. And we are all to be witnesses. Okay, so you don't have to be an evangelist, but you have to be a witness. And I kind of, to try and make it a bit simpler, I'll try and break it down to that. Okay, let you read that. So we're all called to be witnesses. Witness is when you say, this is what God has done for me. That's you telling your story. And then evangelism, this is what God has done for you. Does that make sense? And if you're very good at this, okay, if like when somebody, if someone's telling you their story and you think, wow, that's amazing. You know, look at the change in this person's life. And then you won't be an evangelist, but it might lead you on to evangelism because they will say, well, okay, that's all right for you, but what about me? What about my life? How can I meet with God? And then that becomes evangelism. So not an evangelist, but witness to evangelism. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Brilliant. That leads me to another story. It reminds me of Good Friday. I was in Sheffield. I was working for a big church there. And we had four teams of, I think, about 12 people. And we're carrying full-size crosses, right? Right into the city centre and then out the other side. And as we were going through on Good Friday, we were giving out palm crosses and Easter eggs. Okay? And it was amazing, actually, because the leaders of each of these four groups, as we went out, everybody seemed to cling to them and hide behind them. You know what I mean? Sort of, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I'm afraid to say anything. I push the leader out to the front so they can say it. Push the evangelist out. They can do it all. And as we were walking through the town, you could see that people were really interested in what we were doing. And one of the interesting things is that more people wanted the palm cross than they did the Easter egg. And they wanted the palm cross, and when we gave them the palm cross, we would tell them about how valuable they were, that Christ had laid down their life for them. And these people, at the end of the walk, okay, it wasn't that they were coming in too close to hide behind us, it was trying to stop them and go out and speak to people. and get lost in the crowd, because Jesus sent people out two by two, remember? So we brought them all in, but they were just so on fire. They didn't understand that people had a hunger for the word of God. They wanted more. They wanted to be out there and tell people the amazing story. And now I've got a good friend called Ben who's going to come and share with us. Is there another microphone we can use? Can we use this one? Hello, Ben.
Hello, Andrew. Hi, how are you doing?
Most of me's good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, fine. Absolutely brilliant.
Brilliant. Okay, now, all of you recognise Ben, I guess, if you've been in the church a while. And I was just going to ask Ben, what was your life like before that event that happened?
Well, I was brought up in a rural family.
Do you hold it a bit closer, Jim?
Sorry.
There you go.
Brought up in a rural family post Second World War.
Yep.
Didn't have much in the way of religion.
Come away from the speaker, sorry. Otherwise, you're going to get very loud.
Didn't have much in the way of religion.
Sorry? A bit closer to your lips.
Okay. Is that better?
Okay. Is that okay, everyone? Okay, from the back.
Right, yeah, as I said, I was brought up in a post Second World War rural family. Religion wasn't top of the list of things that we did. I was press ganged into the local church choir at the appropriate age, and all it did was reinforce my opinion that mainstream religion was very fusty and not really for me. I lived by Christian values, but I wouldn't have called myself a Christian.
Yeah, yeah. And then you went on holiday somewhere.
Yeah, last summer, Anne and I went to Felixstowe for a holiday, and as one does, you have to do shopping, and me and shopping don't mix terribly well, so we're walking around Lidl, and I'm leaning on my trolley, walking down that central aisle where you can get concrete mixers, rubber boats, dog kennels on one side and fruit and veg on the other. So coming towards me was a young lady pushing a trolley with some sort of purpose. And I noticed that she slowed down and sort of had a quizzical look on her face, and she came up to me and said, "Are you all right?" And I said, well as you can be when you're shopping, you know. Other supermarkets are available, by the way. So she said, "No, are you all right? Because you don't look at all well." And I said, "Well, apart from suffering from Parkinson's, I'm fine, you know, no problems." And she said, "Well, would you like me to pray for you?" And I thought, well, okay. You're faced with these decisions, yes or no, you know, and you can lead you off in one sort of pathway or another. So I thought, well, I'm in Lidl's, I can get a concrete mixer, so why not have a prayer, you know? So she put her hand on me and said, "I'll do a healing for you." And I thought, okay. At this point in time, I could have said no and went on my way and thought no more about it. But anyhow, she did this prayer for me. And in the meantime, Anne sort of, that's my wife, wandered past and thought, who the hell is he chatting to, you know? What's going on here? But the upshot of the story is that she opened a door that led to more decisions. She said, "Would you like to come to church?" Hang on, something else that little do, you know? So she said, "The church is," and she gave us the address, which prompted the question, do I go or do I not? I could have said no and thought no more about it. But I did feel something with the healing that she did, a warmth, something that made me feel different. So we went to church because we made the decision, yes, we would go. And the church was literally across the road from where we were staying at the time. And it was all these things were starting to be put in place that, you know, I had no control over, and yet felt there was something guiding me.
Yeah.
And that changed my life. It really has changed my life.
Thank you. And you've also been on a course, I hear.
Yeah, well, since coming back and joining CLC here in Enros, which I'm chuffed and monkeys about because I feel I've gained a family, you know, another family. Got one big enough already, but another family. And doing the Alpha course, which I strongly recommend to anybody who, if they haven't done it, do it, please, because it's an eye-opener. It really is. And now we're on Bible course as well.
We are.
Together. So I feel that I've been reached out by God and sort of turned onto a new pathway.
Thank you so much, Ben. Can we just pray for you before we go? Is that all right?
Yeah.
Let's just pray for Ben, shall we? I'll just dump this down here somewhere. Gently. Okay, yeah. So, Lord, we just want to thank you that you have brought Ben to know you and blessed him, Lord Jesus. And thank you that he's in our family, our church family. And, Lord, we pray that you continue to excite him and thrill him as he comes closer to you and gets to know you more. And, Lord, I just want to thank you for this guy's sense of humour. Amen.
Amen.
So you could see that someone reached out to Ben. And I don't think you all ought to pile into Lidl right now and try and find somebody who doesn't look too well. But what I would suggest is that you close your eyes right now, can you? Just close your eyes. I want you to think about how God reached out to you in the first place. Who was it who was instrumental in bringing you to faith? Maybe a lot of people, maybe just one. And what effect did this have on your life? Okay, so now you can open your eyes and we'll be thinking about those people, holding that in mind. I want to read you a passage about people of peace. Everyone heard of people of peace before? Might be new to some of you. But from Luke 10, this comes. And the Lord appointed 72, sent them out in twos to towns he was about to visit. He said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, entering a house, say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you." So a person of peace is someone who's open to you. Because they're open to you, they're open to God. And they'll invite you in. And those, if you think back to those people who we've just been thinking about, yeah, with your eyes closed, who were those people who were instrumental in bringing you to faith? For them, you were their people of peace. That's who you are. You were. And so now I want you to think, close your eyes again, I want you to think of three people that you know who may be your people of peace. Who is it? Who are those people that are open to you but they haven't got faith yet? But you want them to come to know Jesus. You got them in your mind? Can I make a suggestion that when you get home or now or whatever, you make a note of their names and you pray for them. Okay? Pray for them daily and pray they may be touched and reached by the love of God and pray that they may know his presence and the freedom that brings. And this is a bit cheeky, okay, but I apologise to all our life group leaders, but I suggest that when you meet as a life group, you share the names of these three people that you're praying for, and you pray as a group for those people, but also feedback what's happening in those people's lives, how things have changed, and then you'll be able to give glory to God, and you'll have reached some people, won't you? What will have happened then? How does God change people's hearts and lives? Finally, this is a plug, okay? This is an unashamed plug for Alpha. When you find your people of peace and you start to see them walking with God, as His love starts to invade their lives, think about when they might be ready to do what Ben said and come on to an Alpha course, because We want to see more people in this neighborhood, this community. We want to see them change. We want to see them come to know that they're special, that they're loved, that they're valuable to God and they're valuable to us. So please, as you're praying for your people of peace, have a look, see how their journey is going. And if you think they're at the right point when they want to ask questions and sort of, you know what this could mean for them, then please do let us know and we'll get an Alpha course started. So what are the two things you've got to remember? The great command is to love. And the great commission is to enable lovers. That's basically it. Should we pray to finish? But before I do, does anyone know the Samuel Crossman song, My Song is Love Unknown? Okay, that's two of us. No, sorry. Anyway, so there's a line in there. If you want to sum this up, okay, there's a line in there that says, love to the loveless shown, that they might lovely be. That's what we're here for. Let's pray. God, fill us again with your love. Where we've become so dry and we've lost hope of ever being drenched or overwhelmed by your deep love, fill us again with your love through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, when we felt lonely and abandoned, let us know your loving presence with us today, through the week, and into the life to come.